نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to take a very important lesson, a lesson that is designed, inshaAllah, to give us the thabat and to give us the yaqeen upon what we are trying to be upon, and that is the Dawah to Salafi al-Mubarakah. We're going to talk today, inshaAllah, about the khasa'is of the Dawah to Salafiyah. The khasa'is of a Dawah to Salafiyah. The khasa'is is the plural of the word khasisa. The singular form in Arabic is khasisa. Kha, sad, ya, sad, ta, al marbuta. One is khasisa. If you have a lot of those, it's khasa'is. Khasa'is. Khasa'is is khaf, khaf, sad, alif. And then the, what they call the nabira, or the tear. You know, the hamza goes over that, and the ta marbuta. Khasa'is and the khasisa. What that means is the special characteristics. The special characteristics of the Dawah to Salafiyah. And there are many special characteristics. And when we say special characteristics, I guess we can also say the unique characteristics. Those characteristics that are only applicable to the Dawah to Salafiyah. No other Dawah shares with it. No other Dawah has these characteristics. Only the Dawah to Salafiyah. And anytime you see that something has a khasisa, most of the time you'll find that that thing is a special thing. You'll find Al-Islam has some special characteristics no other religion has. You'll find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has some special characteristics no other Prophet has. You'll find that the Prophets of Allah alayhim as-salatu wasalam, they have special characteristics that no other human beings share with them in it. Similarly, a Dawah to Salafiyah al-Mubarakah, it has some special characteristics that not any other Dawah shares with it in these characteristics. Why is that important? What's the thamara of that? What's the fruit of that? What's the benefit of that? The benefit of knowing that is, if you are on some other kind of Dawah, and there's this Dawah to Salafiyah that has these special characteristics, if you're on another type of Dawah, you need to begin to ask yourselves, why am I on this other Dawah when it's outside the loop as it relates to these other special characteristics? And if you're on the Dawah to Salafiyah, it should be an incentive and an encouragement to show you that this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like when you look at Islam and you compare it to Christianity. You look at Islam, you're not in doubt. You come to know about things of Islam. You know for surety that Islam is the truth because of the things that unfold to you when you compare it to Christianity and that other stuff. So, the first khasisa of the Dawah to Salafiyah, The very first special characteristic of the Dawah to Salafiyah, and this is extremely important. This one alone will show a human being why he shouldn't be on another Dawah. If we gave you this one and we stopped here, it's enough to show you why you should be on the Dawah to Salafiyah and nothing else. This special characteristic is, every single Dawah under the sun, other than the Dawah to Salafiyah, every single Dawah under the sun, it had what we call a mu'assis. It had a founder, other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single Dawah, the Dawah of the Shi'ite, the Dawah of the Mu'tazila, the Dawah of the Asha'ira, the Dawah of the Quraniya, the Dawah of the Takfir wal Hijra, the Dawah of the Jama'at al-Tabligh, the Dawah of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Dawah of the Hizb al-Tahrir, the Dawah of the Sufiya, the Dawah of the Rafida. Every single Dawah other than the Dawah of the Dawah to Salafiyah, its leader or the person who founded it was other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Dawah of the Bilaliyin, the Dawah of the MSS, the Dawah of Islam, every single Dawah other than the Dawah of the Dawah to Salafiyah, it has a founder other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, if that's the case, why would I belong to any other group that other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed the group? For all of those da'wahs that I mentioned and all those jama'at that I mentioned, all of them, you'll find the name of the man or the two men or the three men who formed it and who created it. Whereas the da'wah to Salafiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its founder is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with his sahabas, based upon the hadith that we already took before. All of them will be in the hellfire except one. Write that down. You don't have to write the whole hadith. All of them will be in the hellfire except one. The one that's doing what I'm doing today and my companions. So that proves that the da'wah that he's calling to, he's the one who started it. The second khasisa or special characteristic of the Dawah to Salafiyah is that the Dawah to Salafiyah is the only Dawah that we can describe with al-wasatiyah. You ever heard Aqidah al-wasatiyah? The book Aqidah al-wasatiyah? Al-wasatiyah. From the word wasat. Wow. Seen. Ta. Like shaitan. Wasat. Wasat means to be in the middle. A Dawah to Salafiyah is the only Dawah that is in the middle course in all of its affairs. Everything related to the Dawah to Salafiyah, you will find it in the middle course. When you compare it to the other groups and the other Dawahs, you will find that this Dawah is the only Dawah, no other Dawah shares with it, that it looks at all of the issues and all of the affairs that confronts it and its individuals. It looks at all of those issues with the eye of being in the middle course. What do we mean by this? You have to understand these examples. The group that is called Al-Mu'tazila, they say, if a person commits a sin, if he commits a sin and his iman becomes weak, he becomes a person who is between what they call bayn al-manzilatayn. He's not a believer, nor is he a kafir. He's not a believer, nor is he a kafir. He's in between somewhere. Where they get that from? Allahu alam. The Murji'ah, they say, a man can do anything, any sin, but he still is a complete and total believer. You don't have to pray. You can take riba, you can make zina, you can kill people, As long as you believe in your heart, La ilaha illallah, as long as you say that with your tongue, you a believer. The people from At-Takfir, Wal-Hijra, the Shi'i, the Khawarij rather, the Khawarij, they say if a Muslim commits a sin, he goes outside of Islam. If your iman goes down, you go outside of the fold of Islam, you become a kafir. But the Dawah to Salafiyya says no. It says if a person commits a sin, he is a sinner, and his iman is deficient, but he doesn't go outside of Islam. Now that's just an example as it relates to the sins. As it relates to the sins. I'll give you another example. Another example is the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah ta'ala. Allah establishes in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic sunnah that Allah ta'ala has a hand, that Allah has a shin, that Allah ta'ala speaks, that Allah ta'ala laughs, that Allah ta'ala is shy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds things strange, ya'jibullah, he finds things strange, that Allah ta'ala has fingers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. All of those characteristics and other ones has been established in the Quran and the Sunnah. You'll find some of the people saying, no, this means something else, this allegorical. Allah's hand means his power. Allah laughs means he's pleased with something. Allah comes down, no, he doesn't really come down, he sends down his mercy. So they explain away. That's going one extreme. On the other extreme, you have the people who say, what? Yeah, Allah has a hand and it's just like this. Allah comes down and he comes down like we come down. Allah Ta'ala laughs and he laughs like us. He's shy like us. So they give Allah these characteristics like his creation. The Dawah to Salafiyya says, no, in the middle course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that about himself, and the Prophet said that about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we believe it and we establish it, but we say, without negating it, that it is in a way that's befitting his majesty. So the Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle course in everything. Show us, Dhul-Qarnayn, how the other groups go outside, either to the right or to the left, and how the Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle as it relates to the Qadr, the divine decree that Allah Ta'ala has decreed everything 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. How is it that other groups go too far to the right or to the left, and how the Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle course as it relates to the Qadr?
Salaam to Allah. Uses the imam as being infallible. When you see how you use the imam as being infallible, we on the Dawah look at our imam as being infallible, and we know that they make mistakes. We do not basically
what you're saying is correct, but it's the answer to the question. And I said the Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle course in everything. The Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle course as it relates to the awliya and the anbiya and the rasul and the a'imma, the imams and the awliya and the messengers and the prophets. The Dawah to Salafiyya is in the middle course. How? They see them as being the best of the people. They see them as being Allah's representatives. They see them as being people who should be loved, honored, and respected. But they see them as being human beings who are not infallible, who don't deserve to be worshipped. On the other hand, you find the Sufis, for an example, who say that the imam knows the unseen. The Shi'i who say that the imams have a place closer to Allah than the malaika. They say that the imam Ali radiallahu anhu is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's too far. Then we have the other extreme, where the brothers who want to do these overthrowing of the government today, like from the Ikhwan Muslimin in particular, Jamaat al-Jihad in particular, what they say? They say that the imams of the ummah today, the ulama, who are the inheritors of the prophets, they are all in the pockets of the rulers. They're scholars for dollars. They don't respect and don't love the ulama. They take the position of the ulama and they put them under their feet. They say that the ulama are kuffar. They say that the ulama are the worst of the people. The Shiite, likewise, look at the ulama from the Sahabas, Abu Bakr and those people were the greatest ulama, and say that they're kuffar. So that's how the people go astray one way or the other. Whereas the Dawah of Salafiyya is in the middle course in all of the affairs. But now I'm asking you, how is the Dawah of Salafiyya in the middle course as it relates to the Qadr, the divine decree, which is one of the pillars of Al-Iman, Abdul Karim?
We're in the middle course, inshallah, because like the Qadariya, they say that our actions are created by ourselves. We create our own actions. And we say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this book, that Allah created you and everything that you do. That's the position we take on that.
As the brother said, the Qadr, the divine decree, is what Allah has established in the Quran. And that is, everything that you say and do and everything that happens has already been ordained, written and recorded. Everything. So the people go to two extremes. The one group, like the Qadariya and other people who are similar to them, even if they don't consider themselves Qadari, they say things like, Allah Ta'ala doesn't know what's going to happen until it happens. We are the ones who are responsible for what we do. We're the ones who create what we do. We're the ones who do what we do. How can you say that when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said He created you and what you do? How can that be the case when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, each and every one of you, his creation is brought forth in his mother's stomach for 40 days as a sperm, and then for 40 more days as a mortal flesh, and then for 40 more days as a leech-like clot, and then the angel of life the angel is sent to him, and he's ordered to blow into him the spirit of life, four things are written, his sustenance, his actions, when he's going to die, how he's going to be happy or sad. So how are you going to come and say now, Allah doesn't know what's going to happen and it's recorded already? All of those proofs. Then you have the other extreme, the Jabariya, who say what? No, we have been forced to do everything that we do, so Allah is ultimately responsible for the oppression that takes place. If you kill somebody, I'm not to blame. Allah is to blame. If I don't pray, Allah didn't want me to pray. I'm not at fault. Allah is His fault. No, we take the middle course, as can be found in Surah Al-Balad, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Did we not make him two eyes and a tongue and lips, and we showed him the two ways, the right way and the wrong way? Everyone and everything has been written, but you still have a free will to do what you want, and you will be held accountable and responsible for what you do. So this is an everything. There's another point concerning this, Ikhwan, and that is, you may find that one particular dawah, one particular jama'ah in something, they may be in the middle court, but you're going to find that some things, when you bring to them, they're not in the middle course in those things. Whereas the Dawah of Salafiyya in everything is in the middle course. As Allah said in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٍ وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ شُهَدًا. And for that reason we have made you people an ummah that is in the middle course. The third khasifa, the third characteristic is that the unity that the Muslims are looking for, it will never ever take place except if the Muslims get on the Dawah to Salafiyya. That's a special characteristic. The unity that the Muslims are looking for and they're calling for, it will never, it's impossible to happen without them getting upon the da'wah of Salafiyah. Without them getting upon the da'wah of the companions and the righteous predecessors. If the Muslims want to be on the da'wah of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, if they want to be on the da'wah of Jamaat al-Tabligh, they want to be on the da'wah of the Shiite, they want to be on the da'wah of the Rafida, of the Sufi, of the Murji'ah, of the Mu'tazila, any da'wah that they want to be upon, and if they want unity, it's never going to happen until they get upon the da'wah of Salafiyah. Why? The hadith that we told you before, that my ummah is going to split up into 73 sects. Every single one of those sects will be in the hellfire except one. The one that's doing what I'm doing today and my companions. Now that's a clear proof. Either you're doing what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were doing, or you're doing something else. So let us look at any da'wah. Give me an example, Abdurrahman. Mention any da'wah, any jama'ah. Wasi Muhammad, do you think in your wildest dreams, if all of the people got on the da'wah of Wasi Muhammad, the Muslims are going to be united? It's impossible. You may say that's an extreme case. That's not an extreme case. Every single other group is just like that. Allah Ta'ala told us about this ikhtilaf and what happens, and He said, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ فَرِحُونَ. Every group will be happy with what it has. He's Jamaat of this, him and his crew happy with them. You're Jamaat of that, you and your crew happy with this. He's Jamaat of this, happy with that, happy with this, happy with this, happy with this. They will never ever come together. Why? Because each group is saying, come to us and get with our program. And if you don't, we're not down with you. Every da'wah of the madhab. If everybody was thinking that these madhab going to bring the people, never would those madhab bring the people together. There's an ayat in Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 130, 103. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَانْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. He said, and hold on all together to the cable of Allah. Not one brother being by himself somewhere holding on. No. Everybody hold on to the cable of Allah and do not be disunited. Allah could have just said, hold on to the cable of Allah, and He kept going. But in the Arabic language, look how He emphasizes. Hold on to the cable of Allah and don't be divided. That's more emphasis for the unity. Hold on all together to the cable of Allah and don't be divided. And remember Allah's favor upon you when you were enemies one to another and saw. And Allah brought your hearts together and you became brothers. You became united. The Ansar constituted two tribes. This group was called Al-Khazraj and this group was called Al-Aws. They were the Ansar tribe together. They were killing each other for hundreds of years because of a horse race that took place way back when. They don't even remember. But they're still killing each other over a horse race. He'll make up some poetry about how they won the horse race. He'll get upset and they'll kill him. They'll come in and kill him. They'll kill him back. And the Jews were there igniting the fire, making it go more and more and more. Let's have a party. And the Jews will bring the cover. They bring the intoxicants. Get everybody drunk, and then they'll be the ones who say, yeah, let's start making poetry. Knowing that those people are going to start talking about the horse race. So those people were upon what they were upon, and they were upon what they were upon, and they were never, ever, ever in a position. Their common enemy is the Jew. They have a common enemy. It's the Jew. But they couldn't come together to beat up the Jew because they wanted other than the da'wah. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بين قلوبهم. If you would have spent, Muhammad, everything that is in the earth, all of the mercury, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the dollars, all of the pounds, all of the money, everything, if you would have spent everything in the earth, you wouldn't have never brought their hearts together. But Allah brought their hearts together, how? By giving them this Quran and this Sunnah. So if the people are going to be upon anything other than that, they will never have this unity. So I say to you, brothers, you have to remember this point. When you hear people talking about unity, unity, let's have this meeting, let's have that meeting, wallahi, we want unity. But we have to have these principles in our head. The unity upon what? La ilaha illallah alone is going to cause disunity. Muhammad al-Rasulullah is going to cause disunity. Muhammad al-Rasulullah implies you don't accept anyone's statement except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was a brother who came here today, a new brother. His name was Thomas. He said that he went to some masjids and they told him about here. He said, everything that I heard about here was negativity. I said to him, what did they tell you? He said to these people, why is this message so close? Why don't y'all come together? And he said that the imam over there said, we have differences of opinion. He said, what do you mean difference of opinion? He said, they say you should pray like this, we say you should pray like that. Wallahi, that's not the problem. It's haram for us to break our ranks based upon that. Anyone who thinks like that, he is oppressive and he is ignorant. You pray like this and he prays like that, so we have to be disunited. No, that's not the problem. The problem is, if the authentic hadith says to pray like this, and it's clear, and it is not open for explaining the way, and then you don't have any proof for anything other than that, and the person brings to you the proof and he says, this is how it is, because the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my proof. Now what is your proof? And the person says, this is how we do it at my country. Now this is the problem right here. This is the problem right here. That's what a person praying, that's oppression for someone to say like that. As for the blind following that these people want from the madhhab, you don't find this taqleed al-a'ma with the people of the Dawah al-Salafiyah. Allah Ta'ala has given the Dawah al-Salafiyah ways in which to unite the people, and that is on this issue and every other issue. Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will reveal, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you people disagree in anything, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger, and not to refer it back to all that other stuff if you truly believe. How many is that now?
Four.
We are number four?
Yes.
The number four is that the Dawah to Salafiyah is the only Dawah under the sun that teaches the people the true and pure meaning of Al-Islam, unadulterated and unpolluted. We have to take some time with this point, inshallah, for clarification. The Dawah to Salafiyah, Ali, is the only Dawah that will teach the people the affairs of their religion. How many of you brothers here accepted Islam and you came right into the Dawah of Salafiyah? Raise your hand. Nobody. My question to you now is, Luqman, since you came into the Dawah of Salafiyah and you compare what you've been learning in the last few months of the Dawah to Salafiyah to the time that you were all in Islam, which of the two times was the information more? Before the Dawah or after the Dawah? Be honest. Look at me. You learned more before you became into the Dawah or after?
After.
Abdul Rahman.
I've learned more in one khutbah after Jumu'ah than I have in years of
How about you, Dawu? So you'll find that very clear about you, Abdul Karim. Look at the issue of this is Salman number two. I wrap to this situation is number two. So we gotta be on our P's and just listen. The ulama and the dua, the callers to the Dawah to Salafiyah. If you look at the books that are being prepared for the people, this is just not a claim that I'm making right now. If you look at the books that have been written for the people, and you listen to the tapes of the people who are giving the Dawah to Salafiyah, you'll find that the people are giving you books about the Aqidah of Al-Islam that you need to know. Those books by Abu Amina Bilal Phillips. Exorcism, Islamic studies. What else you got in Aqidah? Kitab al-Tawheed. The book Kitab al-Tawheed, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, has been translated. Little books about different things concerning the Jannah and the Nar. The Asul al-Salata. Everything in the fiqh that you need, everything in the Aqidah that you need to know about your religion. He came to teach you your religion. Everything you need to know now, you see that the people are teaching you the deen. They're not leaving you like them people over in Paramore somewhere. You're just a Muslim, you don't know what's going on. Or anywhere else in Orlando and other than Florida. They just leave you like that. If you do something, the people leave you to do what you know. The people want to teach you, no, don't do it like that. This is how you do it. And this is the proof like that, like this. The issue of the Salat. The Salat of the Prophet ﷺ. Hey, before you came into the Dawah of Salafiyah, do you remember how you used to pray? Wallahi, the prayer that you had, it was just, you learned how to pray like you was a new Muslim, and you remained on that. And you tried to memorize ayahs from the Quran. That was it. But in terms of how did he raise his hand, how did he do this, how did he do that, that comes to the people when they become a part of the Dawah. You can see a man when he comes into the masjid without even meeting him. You say, hey, that's a salafi. Without even meeting him, wallahi, you be in a place and you watch the brother, you have this thing about watching people how they pray. As soon as you see him how he pray, you say, hey, he got all that, that's the salafi salat right there. Does that mean that he's better than... No, I'm not talking about that. I'm making a point. A clear point. Look at the people who are not part of the Dawah and look how they pray. From the beginning to the end. The Zakat in Al-Islam. Zakat is something that for the most part people are really falling short of the mark because most people feel it doesn't concern them. But the books that have been written in Zakat by the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen, Hafizahullahu Ta'ala, where he broke down the fiqh of Zakat. Based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, available. But no one's going to go and translate that because it's not the type of issue everybody's going to be into. Look at the Siyam, fasting. We got the book of Ali Hassan al-Halabi and Salim al-Hilali. We have the book of the Itikaf in the Masjid. We have the book of the Eid by Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani and Ali Halib al-Halabi. Look at the Hajj. The book about Hajj by Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani has been translated. The Hajj of the Prophet, as if you're looking at it, just like the Salat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the beginning, leaving to coming back. So the Dawah of Salafi is the only Dawah that's going, hey, was the Muhammad, they ever teach you your religion? Wallahi, they never taught me my religion. And then when we used to want to wear short Pakistani things, they used to make fun of you in the khutbah. Any of these masters who are not on the Dawah, they don't teach the people the religion. That doesn't mean they don't give inspirational khutbahs here or nice talk there. That doesn't mean that. I'm talking about teaching the people the deen. Letting a man know, can a woman come to the masjid on her menses or not? Issues that he's going to know about his religion, about his deen. Can he pray after the salat, the sunnah or not? Issues. The Dawah of Salafi is the only, and I challenge anybody Now, if you don't believe that, don't be like that. Maybe you can help us. You should say, no, that ain't true. The proof of it is other than that, and show us. The next special characteristic of the Dawah as-Salafiyyati is that the Dawah as-Salafiyya, the Dawah is built upon giving the Dawah to at-Tawheed, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi ikhwan, this issue of al-ubudiyya, you being a slave and a servant, is too important. We should strive on a daily basis to be people who are truly Abdullah, Abdul Khaliq, Abdul Muhaymin, Abdul Aziz, Abdul Mateen, Abdul Rahim, Abdul Latif. When we read the Quran, we find over and over and over Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala telling us in every single page of the Quran, in almost every single ayah, this issue of his Tawheed. When the prophets came and they called their people to al-Islam, they called them to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that reason, you're not going to find anyone coming to this da'wah except that he's going to learn about the aqidah of al-Islam, about his relationship to Allah. Whereas any other da'wah, the main focus of the people is going to be upon either their group, or the imam of that group, or their ideas. But Allah, the Dawah to Tawheed, is something that's secondary. The Ikhwan Muslimin say, we don't call to Tawheed because the Tawheed, this issue, divides the Muslims. When you start talking about the characteristics of Allah, some people can't get with it. They start, it's a fitna for them. What do you mean Allah has a hand? Allah has a finger. Allah comes down. How do you want to talk about that? That's a fitna. What do you mean, where is Allah? What are you talking about, where is Allah? Here the Muslims getting killed all over the world, and you're talking about, where is Allah? Then why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pay so much attention to it, to teach the people, if it wasn't important? No, now is the time for the Khilafah. Hizb ut-Tahrir say, oh no. No Aqidah, no Tawheed. We gotta get the Khilafah, and then after that we teach everything else. One of the people, the leaders of Hizb ut-Tahrir, he was in Syria. Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani was giving him da'wah. Anyway, this leader, what did he do? His wife complained to Sheikh Nasir, who was respected, and she was trying to get back at her husband, make him mad. So Sheikh Nasir was his enemy. This is a real story. Sheikh Nasir was his enemy. The lady went to Sheikh Nasir and told her, hey, he hit me and he hit me upside my head. He hit me with a tea glass. Look in my face. She told him. Messed up her face. And you know we're not supposed to hit people in the face, period. Except the kuffar. You shouldn't slap your wives in the face. You shouldn't slap your children in the face. So Sheikh Nasir said to him, you want to establish the Khilafah in the earth, and you can't even establish the Khilafah in your house. You can't even deal with your wife without abusing her in a way that Islam didn't allow you to abuse her, to hit her. Establish the Khilafah in your heart first. Allah will establish it in the earth for you. Man comes to me and he starts to tell me that he wants to establish the Khilafah and he doesn't have a beard. He may not understand, he may not know what's the rule or whatever. But I say to him, Ya Sheikh, you know how difficult the Khilafah is. The Khilafah needs some men. It needs some tarbiyah. It's got to grow the people. All of you people, Dawood, Abdul Rahman, Dhulkarnain, Saif, Abu Usama, all of you, look at your own personal lives. Can you imagine if Allah gave us the Khilafah? We responsible for the Khilafah, us. Can you imagine? Not one of us, all of us love to sleep. And we get upset if you start, you know, come on, where you want to take my time from sleeping? What are you talking about? I'm tired. You invaded my privacy. The Khilafah requires people to sleep 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. The Khilafah is the people being afraid to let $1, just $1, go to the unhalal place. Umar ibn Khattab used to not let $1 go where it wasn't supposed to go. Umar ibn Khattab took from the Bayt al-Mal, you know, they didn't have lights. He took the lantern from the Bayt al-Mal to get home with it. Got home and blew the light out. He wanted to make wudu in the morning. Sent his son to get the wudu water. He can't see. He liked the lantern from the Bayt al-Mal. He bring the lantern back. Umar ibn Khattab was making the wudu. He looked at the lamp. Umar ain't got no lantern in his house. He said, where did the lantern come from? He said, this is the lantern, this is the lantern that you came with. He said, this is from the Mal of the Muslimin. Blew the light, blew the fire out. The oil is from the oil of the Muslimin. Now today, said, well, I didn't get my check today. Maybe I can use a little bit of this, and then tomorrow, let me go into the little bit more, then tomorrow, Allah, Ghafur Rahim. And then you give them this is what's left over. That's what the people do today. How are we going to have being responsible for the Khilafah? How? So I know you people and you know me. We are not the people for the Khilafah. But what we can do is, we can begin to prepare the stage of the Khilafah like the ulama have been preparing the stage for the last 40, 50 years by cleaning up the religion for the people. Taking the weak hadith away from the authentic hadith. Taking those deviant ideas and exposing them and crushing those people and showing the people what the real Islam is. And then trying on a little level, on a local level, to try to develop what we can develop, inshaAllah ta'ala, based upon our abilities with the realistic outlook. So the Dawah to Salafiyah is the only Dawah built upon the Dawah of At-Tawheed. The focus is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And not to your Jama'ah and not to your Imam. And that's why when you bring the proofs to the people of the Dawah to Salafiyah, it's easier to get your point across. Whereas you can argue with these other people until you blue in the face because the people are going to give you their opinions or the Imam's opinions or the Jama'at opinion. The last thing that we want to deal with is in the Dawah to Salafiyah, Ikhwan, the men are known by the truth and not vice versa. Not the truth is known by the men. The Dawah to Salafiyah, the men, we come to know who the men are based upon the truth. You know the truth, you know who the men are based upon the truth. Not vice versa. The truth is known by the men. If you know the man, you know the truth. Anybody want to try to explain that? Abdul Rahman, try to explain that.
Okay. Say you see me doing something, and by my action, you know I'm a man. Not the other way around, not because I'm a man I'm doing that, but it's because of that action, because the action is based on truth, I'm a man because of that action.
You really close, Akh, but it needs some more. Luqman.
When you look at a man's character pertaining to deen, and you see his actions, and if his actions is in accordance to that with Rasulullah brought, then you know that man is upon the truth.
Both of y'all said the same thing, and it's part of it. What it is once you know the truth, once you know the truth, the haq, the Quran and the Sunnah, like how to pray. Once you know the truth, you know how to pray. When someone comes in and he starts to pray, that person is known based upon the truth that you understand and that you know. How close he is or how far he is. Based upon that truth. Now that knowledge that you have about how to pray, let it spill over into everything. The more you know about your religion, this, that, everyone who comes into your world and into your sphere, you know that person based upon that truth you know. Soon as you meet him, he gives you with his left hand. He's drinking like this. His beard is shaved and his mustache is like a big handlebar. Based upon the truth that you know that man. And not the opposite. The opposite is what? You know your Imam. So everything that he says is the truth. So the truth is what my imam said. The truth is what this man said. If he says, give the bayah, that's the truth. So when someone comes to you and he says, Ya Sheikh, the bayah is for the Khalifa or for the Naib or the substitute for the Khalifa. It's not for every imam or every Tom, Dick, or Harry. Or he says, no, he can't understand it. My imam is doing it, my imam said it, and this is how it is. Ah, you know the truth. You know the history about the bayah. You know what the bayah and what Quran and Sunnah is saying about the bayah and how the people will pound the bayah. So, based upon that truth, you know where this man stands. That's a very important point, because the people, they recognize the truth based upon the people who are teaching them or the people who they respect or who they're following. Now, it has to be Abu Hanifa is put on the scales and he's weighed by the truth. Abu Hanifa doesn't define to us what the truth is. The truth defines Abu Hanifa. So when Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu makes a mistake, the truth says this is a mistake, but he's a bona fide scholar. Make dua for him because he gets one reward. Still respect him. And if he got it right, the truth says he got it right, he gets two rewards. Make dua for him, we still love him. And not other than that. And that's a special characteristic of the Dawah, a special characteristic of the Dawah of Salafiyah. And you guys, the reason why I picked this is not for you to write it down, for you to understand these points. Now, next week, inshallah, we'll probably do four more points, and then we move on to the usul of the Dawah of Salafiyah, the fundamental principles. What are the fundamental principles? So that now, if I was to say to you right now, what is one of the usul, one of the principles of the Dawah of Salafiyah? Maybe in your mind you don't even know what I'm talking about. What do you want with that? The usul of the Dawah of Salafiyah, principle of the Dawah of Salafiyah? What are you talking about? Inshallah, these issues here are the type of issues. This is why we call this the Minhaj class, or the Manhaj class. Minhaj, Manhaj, or Minhaj. You guys have any questions?